Invite you to turn your Bibles a little. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And from verse number 7, we want to get our thought for the message this morning, where it says here unto us, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, He, that is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." So we take a look at that word precious in our King James translation. There are a handful of words, three or four words that are used and are translated into this word precious. Here, and all of them, no matter the word, are all carry the same idea of something that stands alone. Great, great value. "Unto you therefore which believe," he's speaking to the saints, "our Lord Jesus is precious." It's precious is speaking about value. It's speaking about not only the value like money and wealth, it's also speaking about value from the standpoint of honor. We in our world and in our lifetimes and in this world in which we live, we think about things that are precious, that are the wealth of the world. And when you take a look at something that's considered precious, there is an exclusiveness about it. We go through the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 12 tells us about building on the foundation of Christ. "Now, if any man build on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Precious stones. Revelation, the book of the Revelation, speaks a lot about precious stones. Okay, they are exclusive. They are of great, great value. And that's the wonder of the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Is the common building material there is going to be the things, is going to be of the things and of those things that we value very precious here in this earth and this world. They're going to be very common there and going to be very beautiful there because our Lord owns it all. The Old Testament, when it speaks about things precious, things that are very, very special, things that are very, very exclusive, speaks about precious ointment, not just a bottle of lotion that you would go down to the pharmacy or to the Walgreens or whatever and buy, or at Walmart, but something very, 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 very special. They know in that city, we know there's references like that, and historically we understand that some of the cities that the Apostle Paul wrote to, or the Lord wrote to in the book of the Revelation, they were very, very good about making a particular ointment. They make it there like they make it nowhere else. Okay? There's the precious things from Egypt, the wealth that the children of Israel came out of Egypt with. The Old Testament speaks to us about things that are precious, that they're very, very rare. Precious vessels. You know, we'll hear the reference to the one and only vase made by so-and-so. It's the only one. And if it were destroyed, that would be it. There's none like it. Okay, very precious vessels. Precious clothes. There in that place known for the making of clothing and the fabrics that are used and the precious jewels and precious metals that are used. They don't make clothes like anywhere else, like do in this place. Okay, and of course, precious jewels, as we've seen there in 1 Corinthians. Our world deals, even in these modern times, in precious metals. You've got to have gold to make electronics. You've got to have platinum to be able to accomplish different things in industry. They're rare. They're very expensive. You just can't go down around the street and get it. They're very, very precious. When a man seeks to gain a bride, he looks to give her an engagement ring. I've never seen an engagement ring mounted with a piece of garnet. You know what garnet's used for? Sandpaper. You don't give a ring with a very finely mounted piece of coal, do you? No, you just don't do that. It's a precious stone. It looks to be special and exquisite. Our world desires precious metals. That's part of what makes our technology work and otherwise. We know when we go and take a look at the scriptures, that the scriptures, the Lord tells us in the scriptures that life itself is precious. We have a lot of technology. We've been blessed with a lot of different things in medicine, but man cannot create life. Now, Brother Jim, I remember when Dolly was cloned. Yeah, and that happened. We can do that, but that's not the making of a soul and of a person, of an individual. Life is indeed precious. You can only have life from the Lord. And then there's that the scripture speaks to us about the preciousness of souls. Not only is there the physical life, but there's that given by God to mankind that he creates the soul. And the soul is most precious. The scripture tells us about the sacrifice required for a soul that we can't redeem. We can't pay the price for one another. The sacrifice, the redemption of that soul is precious. The soul is precious, and the redemption is precious. There's a passage that we've touched on in recent years by different ones of us here in Matthew chapter 13. Verse number 45 and 46, the scripture says, again, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus speaking, is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. So we understand about pearls and where they come from. You just can't go around down and around the corner and get a pearl. You've got to go to the place on the earth where those creatures in the sea make the pearls, and some pearls are better than other pearls, and this man is in that business. He's looking for good ones. Bad ones can be had, or questionable ones, or so-so ones can be had in abundance. Maybe you can't find them in places in the world, but he's looking for the good ones, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. So all those other pearls that he has, he sold all those. He went and sold all that he had. You know, he might have even sold the property that he had, the stuff that he had, besides the goodly pearls that he already had. And he went and bought that one pearl. And that pearl is Jesus. Unto we which believe, he is precious. And he's precious to us in that way, but above and beyond all these things that I've mentioned already. Is the Lord precious to you? Brother Peter, he seems to be caught up on this word precious as it's translated into us in this thought, because in his epistles he mentions other things that are indeed precious because the Lord is precious. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse number 19, listen to what he says here. Or let's back up verse number 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, as precious as they are, they corrode. Corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain, your empty conversation. When you see that word conversation, Scripture is talking about thinking, speaking, and doing. Received by the tradition of your fathers. It's passed down to us from the generations before us. We weren't redeemed with corruptible things from our vain conversation, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, shown forth, and brought to light, brought to pass in these last times for you. Because the Lord Jesus is precious, he is exclusive. There's no one like him. He stands alone as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He stands alone as the Savior. He stands alone as the Judge. He stands alone as the Son of Man. He stands alone as the Son of God. He stands alone as the only mediator between God and man. He stands alone as the only intercessor that the Father will receive. He stands alone as the only redeemer, the one equipped to pay the price. He is precious, and because he is so precious, indeed his blood, the blood of him becoming a man, the sacrifice, the Scripture we're reminded tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. And our Savior is precious unto us, and indeed his blood is precious in and of itself and is precious to us. There's no other blood that could do it. No doubt the hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of gallons of blood shed by the Israelites over the course of the decades and centuries and their sacrifices, how much blood would that have been? I mean, untold gallons of blood could not pay for our sins. But the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, it did. Paid for our sins, covered and washed away our sins. He is precious because he shed his precious blood for us. It is of the greatest value. It is exclusive. You can't find that blood that God would receive as sacrifice anywhere else but in Jesus. It stands alone. And praise be to his name for it. Brother Peter also refers to this in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, speaking of the saints, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through all the manifold trials and temptations and such, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord Jesus being the most precious one that there is, he being the focal point of our faith, makes our faith in him precious indeed. Without a Savior to whom we could have faith in, and because of his faithfulness to us, we have faith in him. And by the blessing and work of God, his word, his spirit, his truth, our faith in him is precious indeed. It's a blessing to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is that which glorifies God the most, because we have faith in Christ in the midst of the impossible. It is indeed impossible for us to be saved. But he has and is able to save the sinner. We believe him. We trust him that it was good enough. We trust him that it was on time. We trust him that he has all the answers for all the details that would stand against us regarding the need of our soul, the payment for our sin, our present life and existence, and our future. We understand that his hand has been upon us, looking back into the past, and that he, all the way from before time, has loved his own. Precious faith. And that trial of that faith is also a precious thing, in that that faith is refined. Why? To our praise and honor and glory, but to his. He is worshipped by faith. It tells us in Hebrews, the person that comes to the Lord must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that believe and trust in him in everything. It's a precious thing to have precious faith in Christ. This word is very much connected to that which we have seen over in chapter 2, verse number 7. It's another tense of the word, I believe. Its preciousness is, it's valuable, it's honored, it's very dear. What compares in your life to your Savior? What compares in your life to your faith in him? There's nothing that we could say that we would trade. In Second Peter chapter 1, Peter also makes a mention of this, and in this epistle too, the second epistle, Second Peter chapter 1, in his greeting, he says here in verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness, how? Through the righteousness of God and the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Your faith in Christ is precious indeed. And you know what? The faith of your brothers and sisters in Christ is right there in line with it, right there on par with it. Your faith in Christ is precious indeed. It is the faith by which you have been saved. It's the faith and the focus that you have personally upon Christ. And so it is with every brother and sister in Christ that we have. That faith, my faith looks up to thee. There's nothing better than having been touched by the Lord in this way. To see the preciousness of the Savior and to say and discount all that is us and all that the natural man would trust in and place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith. You know, it tells us in the book of Romans in chapter 1 that the apostle, he desires there to have fruit amongst the church there at Rome. And he says he's not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As every person visited by the Lord believes, it's a worship, a glorifying, a trusting, a resting in like precious faith. Why? Because the Savior's precious. Is he precious to you? Like precious faith. Again, it's a different word, a different Greek word, but it's speaking to the same kind of thing. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it's the only place in the New Testament scriptures that this word is used. like precious. Yours is precious, and mine is precious. We're thankful for one another's faith in Christ, aren't we? It's part of the fellowship that we have as fellow citizens, as fellow saints, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our faith is directed to our Lord. It's individual, and as we hear in the meet here in the church and worship our Lord and work for Him, it is collectively unto Him. It's alluded to or mentioned there in our first verse there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. He stands alone. Jesus said, we must love Him supremely above all. Even the one, love Him above the one to whom we would be married. Love Him above our own children. He is precious. But it says there in verse 7, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. Well, let's back up to verse number 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. So out here in the building material, there's a bunch of stones, and these builders are building, and they're choosing stones to set for the foundation of this building. To whom coming as unto a living stone. This stone, this particular stone in this queue of stones that are there for the building is living. It stands out. He stands out. But He's disallowed indeed of men. But turns out He's the chosen of God. And He is precious. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to God the Father. He is His Son that He gave. He is His Son that He sent on a mission from the standpoint of man of impossibility, but He did it for our sakes. Ye also, verse 5, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and we are alive because He is alive. And holy priesthood, speaking of us, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, that means chosen of the Father, precious, exclusive, of the greatest of value, none can to compare. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. And then our text verse, unto you therefore which believe, we see how the Father has looked on Him. We see about the specialness, the great exclusiveness. There's none that compares to Him in the eyes of the Father. And then it is so for us. Unto you therefore who believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, as those Jewish elders, Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrin members, scribes, lawyers, as they're picking through the stones to build, they took it and they threw it off. But not God. Not God. He took it and He said, this is my stone. This is the stone. And you know where He put it? He didn't put it in the run of the side of the foundation. He put it right there on the corner, in the front. Unto you therefore which believe, He, Jesus, is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. He is so precious to you and me. He is so precious to the Father. But there are others that He's a great stumbling stone. There are others like those that we mentioned and those in time over time that he is a rock of offense. Can you imagine Jesus being looked at and considered to not be precious? That Jesus would not be found to be precious by someone? As wonderful and great, as magnificent as he is, and all that he has done for the benefit of sinners, the general graciousness of Lord upon mankind, and that particular redemption and salvation that he brought exclusively through his son, that someone would look on him as not being precious? But that it's so. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, they reject what God has said in his scripture, in the Bible, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. So we see here that he is the precious cornerstone of his church. We enjoy and love and insist and praise the Lord that Jesus is our leader. Don't you? We do, don't we? We're glad that Jesus is our leader. We're thankful that he is our leader. We're thankful for the promises that he's given us as his church, for the health that he gives us, for the sustaining that he blesses us with. He is the precious cornerstone of his church. And being so precious and so exclusive and so wonderful, we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, we see that everything that falls from his lips is also precious. What he says to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, his divine power, verse number 3, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, to power in him, not strength of ourselves, but his strength, his power, whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Our precious Savior, who is exclusive, who is so dear unto us, is the only one that has fit the bill for everything required by God, and the Savior that we need, and the cornerstone of our church, everything that he has spoken unto us as children is precious indeed. A promise of the Lord is precious indeed. We, brothers and sisters, we indeed are standing on the promises of God. We can't bring it. We have a responsibility indeed, but very life itself we cannot bring to pass without our Lord. But he has promised. He is faithful as he's always been faithful. Our faith looks up to him. A precious Savior, precious faith, precious cornerstone, and precious promises. If he said it, it's as good as done for us. There are two within the week of our Lord's death, it seems, that it's expressed by them about how precious our Lord is. And as the Lord goes over beyond Jordan there in his last days, and he comes back to Jericho, we see in Mark chapter 10, and we refer to him as blind Bartimaeus, and we see here with him this. In Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verse number 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus, and I dare call him brother, he understood some things about Jesus, didn't he? He understanding and believing and knowing that indeed Jesus is the son of David. You know, Jesus posed that question. They knew full well that Messiah would be David's son. But Jesus asked them the question, how is it that David calls him Lord? But Bartimaeus, he knows about it. He knows he's the son of David. Have mercy on me. And then he charged him, Bartimaeus, that he should hold his peace. Be quiet. Be quiet. Quit bothering him. But he cried the more, a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Said, get him on up here. Go get him. Bring him up here. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, threw off his cloak or his coat, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, in our translation, our English translation here, which we are so thankful for and love, this word that is right here is used only twice in the New Testament scriptures. And the Hebrew word, as we understand, is Rabboni. It's not speaking about, in general, a rabbi or your rabbi that would be closer to you. Not speaking about the rabbinity, that field, that group of men that would serve as rabbis, or a rabbi in particular, but Rabboni. As best as we can understand, it's got an element and a term of affection. Some would render it, for us to understand, my great one. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is the son of David. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus can heal him. It's just a matter of if he wants to or not. He can heal him. And he is doing all that he can for the Lord as he's passing out of Jericho to hear him that he would receive his sight. This, if we understand it correctly, this here is a term of affection for the Lord. Because Bartimaeus isn't asking others in the crowd to heal him of his blindness. He's not extolling any others to be of the household of David. He is doing so to this one and only special one. My great one, my Lord. Remember how it was with Brother Thomas when he was missing the first week and it was there the next Sunday? My Lord and my God. It's like that. The Lord told him, said, put your hands in my fingers or put your fingers in my hands and put your hand in my side and be not faithless and believing. And Thomas bows down and says, my Lord and my God. Brother Bartimaeus says, Lord, Rabboni. That I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith, and we know his faith in Jesus, hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. He didn't go his way, as in going back into Jericho or to his family, but he followed Jesus in the way. Was Jesus precious to Bartimaeus? He still is, isn't he? And then we come to John chapter 20. Jesus has been crucified. He's been in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Because of the, in this case, the hindrances of the high days and the Sabbath day and all that, the women, they've not been able to prepare the spices for the anointing of the Lord's body. He was hastily buried. And they go, they look to go to the tomb as soon as they can to honor him in that way. They love him. They want to care for his body in that way and to anoint him. All that was done so hastily, and it turned out the way that it did. They were so restricted with all the high days and everything. And so they're there going to the tomb. And we read here in John 20, verse number 11. But Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she went, as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, the angels did, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. So she's facing the angels and turns herself back and saw Jesus standing, but didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. So she thought that this was the gardener of the cemetery. Saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him, Jesus, tell me hence, if you've taken him away from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary? She turned herself. So she had, as she's speaking to the one that she believes is the gardener, she's evidently on the search. She's wanting to understand what has happened to the Lord's body. And saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. But again, it's not talking about the rabbis as a group, or it's not talking about a rabbi that would be one's personal rabbi in the synagogue, but it seems to carry an element of affection with it too. She had been saved and had seven devils cast out of her by the Lord. She had been rescued from an impossible situation. She loves her Lord and Savior. She owes it all to him. She came and is mentioned in the scriptures for lo, these near millennia, two millennia, that she had a desire along with the other women to come and do this for her Lord. He was precious. He is precious unto Mary. Mm-hmm. Rabboni. The surprise that he's alive. He spoke her name. He had spoken her name before, hadn't he? And in speaking of her name, she knew it was him. Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. She is most likely, if we understand it, the first one to whom Jesus appeared. Is Jesus precious unto you? Unto you therefore which believe, He is indeed precious.